Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Excited to be with you today, and I've been struggling along because there ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And it's been incredible. There was no pancake mix yesterday. Out of the pancake mix, so we made it from scratch. I've never tasted rubber that tasted so good. I don't know what ingredient was missing, but the five-year-old's twins were telling me what to put in, so I just kept throwing it in. And it's amazing, the miracle of what powdered sugar will cover and make good. It's amazing. It's like Jesus covers my rotten life, too, and by his grace. So anyway, precious right there, baby. So we're... Today, I'm going to walk through the mission of Jesus through the Gospel of Luke, and hope and pray to God that this is going to encourage you, because we've been in the Gospel of Luke, and we're starting to approach the ending of this series, and then we get to launch into a whole new series this Sunday after Easter. We're going to do a one-year walk through the Bible, basically. I'll tell you more about it later. Hopefully, that didn't sound too academic. We're going to make it life application all the way, but it's going to be phenomenal, this teaching that we've got coming in, and it's going to work into our lives on a day-by-day basis. You will greatly grow and benefit at the same time. You're going to learn basically the books and the themes of the Bible, not academically, not rote, not by memory, but in your heart. You're going to gain a lot. We're going to work together to make sure that everyone that we can touch and influence in New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, in the five boroughs, that everyone that we reach and touch can live a victorious life through the Word of God. I believe that's not only possible, but I believe that's what the Lord offers and gives to us as a gift. But we need church, we need the Word of God, we need teaching, we need all of this to build a great foundation. The mission of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke can be summed up in four brief scriptures. And the first we're going to get to is Luke 4, verse 16. We're going to go through 16 through 21. We're going to read this. We're reading out of the English Standard Version. And it says that Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. This is where he was raised and was his custom. He went to the synagogue. Now look at this. Jesus went to the synagogue. That was his custom. It's amazing, isn't it? Little things like that that are detailed. This is where Jesus grew up. This is where he went to synagogue. He played on the soccer team, the Nazareth Bulldogs or whatever. It has to be some kosher animal. But this is how he grew up and where he grew up, and this is what he did. It's amazing when you actually go to this land, you get a better feel for it, but just use your imagination. So he went to the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. It was his turn to give the reading. Jesus was already being recognized as a rabbi in his manner in which he related with the other rabbis and the priests and others. And it says, in the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Here it goes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. Interesting use of Hebrew and then Greek translation. Interesting uses. These are connected with the word Messiah, Christos, anointed one, very connected, to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, here's the next piece of this, and then we'll move on. And it says, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were upon him, and he began to say this, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Make no mistake about it, Jesus, standing in the synagogue of Nazareth, at this point, declared that he was the expected one, that Jesus is and was the Messiah. Big moment. Very big moment. There are many times where he said, don't tell anyone. This time, he made it so clear that everyone understood exactly what he was talking about. Now, the thing we don't know is, was this reading a planned reading, and it was just sort of providentially aligned that Jesus would be reading this, or is this the text he chose? I don't know. But it's what he read, and then for him to say today, now there are massive implications of this, massive. He's saying his perfect purpose in coming was to reveal himself and do the work of the Messiah. Now, in this hour, there are many proclaimed, in this time period, there are many proclaimed Messiahs. But there were no proclaimed or self-proclaimed Messiahs that would heal the sick, open blind eyes, stop funeral processions, raise people from the dead, calm the seas, calm the storms, catch gold coins out of fish's mouth, and then have 7,000 Bible verses in the Bible backing up and alluding to him as the very Messiah. No one else had those credentials. You know why? Because Jesus is the true Messiah. And everything aligned and was wrapped around that reality. Major implications for this. This is massive good news. Finally, the Messiah has come. Finally, Jesus came. And he comes not to bring offense. He comes not to bring division. He comes not to basically bring judgment and condemnation. He says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year, in essence, of Jubilee. This is the Jubilee year of the Lord that is referenced in Leviticus chapter 25. And what does that mean? It means that all the captives are going to be set free. It's going to be no more slavery, and it also means that all of your debts will be forgiven in the Jubilee year. Every 50 years, all of your debts are forgiven. Come on, college students. Would you love to have a Jubilee year? That's what Jesus is saying. All of your debts against God are canceled. He's fulfilled them. It's the debt he didn't owe, but he took care of it on our behalf. He canceled the debt of our sins. He has canceled death. He has canceled hell. He has canceled insecurity. He's canceled condemnation. Jesus, and then he emancipates the slaves and lets them go free. We find it very interesting in our church family right now that the Lord has allowed us to sort of have a prayer influence that with one of our sisters who's been appointed as the chief of staff for a significant nonprofit organization that is dealing and helping with the emancipation, if you will, of more than 1 million people in American prisons who really don't need to be there. Thanks to the legislation called the First Step Act that's been praised by people in both parties, finally, praise God, there's something that we can all rejoice together, because it just makes sense that people that have been locked up in prison for 25 or 30 years for a drug habit when they're a teenager, that they just let them go now, thank God. And that the nonprofit then comes alongside to help them find a place to live, to help them in job training, help them in spiritual healing, soul healing, and cleansing streams, praise God, helps them. Churches can help them. And the remarkable thing, there's a girl that really, an attorney who started coming to our church in the night service. And after four visits over a 5 or 6 month period, she really got touched and got right with God or renewed with God. And now this is her job, is to put together the team. The CEO is a man named Van Jones, and he's a regular news guy on CNN, has his own show. And she's the chief of staff for him, and they're putting something together with the help of Jay-Z, Robert Kraft, the owner of the 76ers, Meeks, a lot of rappers, Jack Ma's wife, Alibaba owner, his wife. So these people have coughed up $50 million. I don't think it took more than about 10 seconds. And come on now. That's not our board of directors here, you know, obviously. We'd be owning this building, baby. This would be all she wrote. But the point of saying all this is that we're seeing the effect of Jubilee come before our eyes in a national level right now. This is no less than Jubilee. This is something that God's just doing, and we're so thankful because this has been a problem in American history since the 1800s. And too much to explain there. I actually had a chief justice explain, not nationally, but a state chief justice explain all this to me and how this happened. And it's just there are those periods and epochs in time where God steps down and says, let the people go. I still remember when the Berlin Wall collapsed in 1989. Some of you were not born yet, but it was a pretty big news day when you read about it on the front page of every newspaper around the world. The wall came down. God set the captives free. The churches were then that were underground being suffered and persecuted, like these guys right here from Russia, Misha and Nina. They remember those days. They had to go underground. All of a sudden, underground no more. We're publicly declaring that Jesus is Lord in that nation. Communism collapsed because communism is empty. Communism has no power. Communism equals atheism. And Jesus just came in that moment, set the captives free. It was a big, 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 big moment. Well, even greater than that was the day that Jesus stood before these people, read this scripture out of Isaiah 61, and said, today, not next week, not hundreds of years from now, but today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Then he sat down to say, it's finished. The Jesus you serve is not the Jesus you see on many museum walls that looks weak, emaciated, beat up, pale, iron poor, needing some Geritol. He's not that. He is the King of Glory. He's the awesome ruler. He is the emancipator, the liberator. He's the one that brings Jubilee in your life and eradicates our enemies and our fears and all the things that are holding us back. This is pretty awesome. His purpose is stated. Jesus is our Jubilee. And we got to see with our own eyes recently, the very first prisoner named Matthew Charles was able to leave the prison after 30 years of imprisonment. He didn't murder anyone or anything like that. He got in prison and he got born again. This is public news, by the way. He got born again while he was in prison. He got 2 master's degrees, helped all the prisoners, became the guy like the dude in Shawshank Redemption. He became the accountant guy who helped everybody. Whoever's not seen Shawshank Redemption, forgive me. But most of us have seen that. How many of you have seen it more than once? Thank you. So this guy, Matthew Charles, they let him go. They let him out of prison, and he goes back to his hometown, and he can't get anyone to rent him a place because of what's on his record. Well, see, these things are going to change. Because these laws are going to change. These marks against us are going to change. It's just terrible. I think it's terrible that some people have to live with a DUI on their record of something they did when they were 18 and now they're 30. It's still on the record. There comes that time where it should just be, let it go. Come on, Frozen, let it go. This is the mission of Jesus, to let it go. Let us go free from the sins of our past. Let us go free. And then we're seeing this live out. Well, he couldn't get a lease, so Kim Kardashian, can't make it up, says, I'm going to pay his rent for 5 years. Well, he got a lease pretty quickly. Man, it's amazing. Well, we have to move on to the second part. Luke chapter 9, point number 2 of Jesus' mission, Luke 9, this is in the context of Jesus and Peter meeting, and Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. And then in this particular time, he said, well, okay. Jesus said to him, he strictly charged him. He said, do not tell this to anyone. Don't tell it. And he said, now here's why. I want to tell you what this is going to be, the mission of the Messiah. The Messiah that the Jewish people expected was not what they got. They did not get what they thought. We don't get what we think a lot of times. You ever notice that? I don't get what I want a lot of most of the time. That's why the Bible says, I die daily. I die daily. Come on. Moms and dads, when you get up with the kids in the middle of the night, it's not what you wanted, was it? You're looking for, like, is there a baby version you know, of Ambien? Is there, what can I do to solve this problem here? You know, here's what you can do. You can die daily. You can die nightly. You know, it's, this is unbelievable. But anyway, here's what he says in 9:22. Here's his purpose. Son of man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Point number two for Jesus' purpose, he came to die. Death for us is a consequence. Death to Jesus was a purpose and a mandate. Why? So that he could take our place and suffer the wrath of God in our place so that we don't have to take the wrath of God. Too much to explain now, but just trust me. This is awesome that Jesus went to the cross. We'll highlight this more on Good Friday and then on Easter Sunday. But this is why they call it the good news. Thirdly, Jesus came to empower the 12 that they would carry out his mission. The baton was being passed even while Jesus was on the earth. He was preparing his 12, and then not only the 12, but the 70 that you can read about in Luke chapter 10, the 120, you read about that later, the masses. Jesus, and he had a band, this is so incredible. He had a band of women followers in Luke chapter 8 that were surrounding Jesus and actually funding the things that were going on. This is a woman from Herod's court. This was Mary Magdalene. These were other prominent women in the city and the region, and they were all following. So Jesus was empowering them. He would tell them, he would give them little indicators that when I'm finished, that this work, you're going to do greater work. You're not just going to do this. Greater things are going to come out of your life. Isn't that the sign of a great leader? Not insecure, holding people back. You have to always serve me. No, I'm going to empower you so you can go beyond me. You can go further than me. You can. And so it says in Luke 24, verse 46 through 49, he says he opened their mind to understand scriptures. And then he said, it's written that Christ should suffer and the third day raised from the dead. Then that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you. You're going to stay in the city and you'll be clothed with power from on high. And guess what happened after that? They all were sent out. They were sent out. The 12, you follow them, you trace them. Thomas went to India. Mark went to Egypt. The list goes on. They all went all over the world. Peter and others went to Rome. They went to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus has not stopped sending people, but that was his purpose, was to empower the church, if you will, to empower now. That was then, but now the purpose, he sends the Holy Spirit so we'll be clothed in power. Then we can carry on the work and the mandate of Christ in the earth and see renewal and restoration happen through our lives. We're here to make a difference. We're here to make a difference. We're here to live on purpose. We're here to know God. We're here to grow together. We're here to know our purpose so that we can then make a difference. That's who we are. And that's our mission in this church, is to pass something into your life so that you become a contagious Christian. So that people say, man, you're different. Man, you're different. And that's the whole idea, is to be different. When I get on an elevator, I don't always talk to people, but sometimes I know the mission is to make a difference, to bring cheer, to bring laughter, to bring joy, to talk, to engage, to pass on something to those who are around us on a day-by-day basis. That's a small part of this, but this was the mission of Jesus, and he never stopped sending. I can say that in the goodness of God, I have been sent 3 times in my life. From Jesus direct. I've been sent many places by the Spirit or invitation or whatever, but by Jesus 3 times. Number one was Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That was where I was graduating from school. After I graduated, I was like, Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything except I'm not staying here. And, you know, don't ever pray that way, because he says you are staying here. You're staying here. You're staying here. No, Lord, that's not what I want to do. And he says, you said you wanted to follow me and do it. You said you will do what I want you to do. And I was like, I said, yes, but anything but this, Lord, you know. You ever had those conversations with God? It's so great. His will be done, not our will, but Lord, thy will be done. And you know, it's like amazing that once I embraced it, it wasn't easy, but man, God just so blessed me there. And he just gave me a great ministry and a remarkable church that planted 100 other churches, including this one here. And so many great things happened out of that. Just and yet, it wasn't through what I wanted. It was through what he wanted. And it's just so often the kingdom is upside down. But what the problem is our hearts, thoughts, and affections aren't normally bent on him. They're not. I have a proclivity to do what's wrong. Anybody else? Anybody else eat two donuts instead of none? I used to say two instead of one. No, it's like at my phase in life, you can't even eat one. Krispy Kreme, where art thou? We had a good thing going. I'm on a new path now, new trajectory, new place. Come on, somebody give a. I'm not gluten-free yet, but that's okay. Gluten can be, got to have a little gluten to keep that energy. But every day there's dying to something and choosing his way. Now, the final point of Jesus' mission, we've already covered this through so many scriptures. It's the fourth is, and you can read it in Luke 19:10, is to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and save what's lost. And the greatest story of all time, the greatest parable of all time, is the story of the prodigal son. In this particular passage, it reads in Luke 15:20-24, that in this story, the lost prodigal son who was in the pig pen, was dirty, defeated, nasty. He chose his own way. You know, all he did was he asked for his father's inheritance. He said, I want my share of the inheritance now instead of waiting. And this is a big issue, I think, in the church world today, is that people think they're going to get it all in their timing. I'm going to get married when I want to get married. I'm going to have kids when I want to have kids. I'm going to have this particular promotion when I want it. So many different things like that. But it says in this particular passage that he arose and he came back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion. He ran, embraced him, and he kissed him. His father is literally holding up his robe, doing what is absolutely unthinkable in this culture, running to embrace and grab his son. Such a beautiful, amazing story of this father that reflects Father God coming after that which is lost. And it says that he rose, he came to his father while he's still a long way off. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. He accepted responsibility for what he did. You can't pass the buck on your own sin. And he said, I've sinned. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. Let's kill it. Let's eat and celebrate. Obviously, they didn't get the memo on being a vegan. But, you know, this is the true big celebration. For this was my son, was dead. He's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to celebrate. This is the mission of Jesus also, the purpose of Jesus, the mission of Jesus. To seek and save that which is lost. And I dug a little deeper on the meaning of this Greek word lost. And it does indeed at one level mean displaced, misplaced, displaced. When your kids aren't where this is the nightmare of a parent that you lose your kids in Disneyland. I actually had one of my friends, Donnell Jones, lost his daughter in Disneyland, in Florida. Is that Disney World? Disney World. Lost his daughter. But he found her. Kept going through his mind. The last thing that his wife told him, the last thing is, don't lose sight of this girl. And he did. But he got her back. There was a time when my son here, Nathan, was, I think, 3 or 4. And he was in his pajamas. And we walked into the lobby of this. We were in Gainesville, Florida at the Hilton Hotel. He walked into the lobby. And then all of a sudden, I had to do something at the desk. I looked around and he was gone. The only place he could have gone is on the hotel elevator. And so I didn't know what to do. I prayed. I just felt like I should just wait right there. Certainly, there's going to be a good Samaritan in this hotel that's going to think to bring this boy down to the lobby, and that's exactly what happened. I waited there so anxiously for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then finally, he comes off happy. There are two or three ladies with him just walking around like, we found this boy. And I just said, bring the fatted calf, bring the robe, bring the ring. It happens. But the other word, the Greek word for lost, is, means literally to be destroyed. And Jesus goes after the destroyed as well. Those that have been ravaged by sin and shame and drugs and sexual identity that's outside of the will of God, whatever it is. He comes after the bruised, the broken, the battered, the beaten, the destroyed. He's going after these prisoners right now who are in those cells praying, God, release me. I want to live a new life. I want to call on your name. He's going after the drug-laden guys on Wall Street that are sniffing it up, wanting enough energy to make it through the stress-filled jobs that they have. Jesus is pursuing us and all of us. And it really bothers me when I hear somebody say, get up and say, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. Jesus isn't lost. You are the lost one. Jesus found you. So what's our response to these things right here? I'll say, I think in a nutshell, our response is, number one, to have a childlike faith of just being grateful. You know, it's such the gift of God for me. It's the gift I would have never chosen. But it's the gift of God for me to have, after a 20-year break in children, to have children. Really, people say, you're looking younger. I mean, even if you don't believe it, just say that to me, okay? Just say, man, you're looking older. You're looking like you've been up all night, and I have been a lot of times. But the gift is this. You know, people don't recognize that when God wants to give you something, it's going to oftentimes, most times, have a different look and feel and package. And God assigned these girls, and I'll tell you the thing that educates me so often is how little children have a grateful heart. Like, seriously, little mints, one Tic Tac, just one. I don't give them a whole thing of Tic Tacs. Just one. Thank you, Daddy. I mean, there's so much entitlement in this generation. It's just a terrible amount of entitlement. It's like, man, where's the gratitude? Children have it. You know why? They love to receive. They know that they don't earn it. They know that they need help to get something off of a shelf. They know until they find the ladder, the step ladder, you know, which my girls have found. They can do anything in the kitchen right now. Please, Lord, don't let it blow up. It's a gas oven. Oh, man, Jesus, help me. You know, but you start thinking about how grateful they are. I was, I've started to every once in a while. We have our nighttime prayers every once in a while. I'll just record the sweet voices and their sweet spirit as they're just so thankful. And they're so thankful for the little things. I don't know if this is going to compute or not, wrong app. But, you know, they just are so precious. Now the other one. Can you hear me? This is Isabella. She's not as loud as Victoria.
Amen. I like that. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. That's sweet, honey.
That's how she ended. So, children, grateful, specific gratitude about the little things. For my beautiful home. Is it really beautiful? It's not really that beautiful. But they're grateful. They're thankful. And they know how to receive. And I think that because of them, you know, they teach us that this is what we can do as well. So I think that's the first response, is receive everything that Jesus has for you. Look, Jesus is not pleased when we take salvation and think that that's the end of it. He's not pleased with that. He wants to take you all the way into an abundant life, a victorious life, overcoming life. Man, it's Jubilee time. I mean, he says the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. That's what he said. So what can we do? Here's what we can do. We can also now not just keep it, but we can pray for others. I'm going to close on this thought. We can pray for others. That's what we can do. We can pray that others can be enlightened. Others can meet the Lord. Others can have this friendship with God that we've so enjoyed, that we've been so blessed by. We can pray. That's certainly one of the things that we can do. All the time, it never ceases to amaze me how little conversations, this guy who has some friend of mine in another state, he said, hey, he texted me, he said, let's talk sometime. I'm going to be in New York. And so I just called him, and I said, hey, man, good to hear from you. And then at the end of our conversation, he was just telling me why he's here, what job he's doing as he visits. And at the end of the conversation, I said, hey, your son lives here in Manhattan. Your son's here. I said, can you send me his email and his cell phone number? Send me his contact information. He said, I'd be glad to. I said, I want to invite him to this scientist who's got an Emmy Award-winning track record with ABC. He's got 3 PhDs. Said he's going to be at our church this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. By the way, you don't want to miss this. And I told him about this guy, and he said, this is incredible timing. He said, 2 weeks ago, our son broke our heart. He called us from New York City, and he said he no longer believes in God, that science basically has ripped him off. He doesn't believe there's evidence for God. I said, you've got to be kidding. That's why we hold these things. There are people in this city who have been pickpocketed. Their faith has been pickpocketed by half-truths or sometimes no truth at all. So we're here to help. We're here to help. I encourage all of you to bring people to this God Talk New York City with Dr. Michael Gillen. And the other thing is that we go from prayer, as what I just mentioned, into inviting others. Inviting. We can invite people to the party. It's just terrible when churches think that it's just us four and no more. It's just terrible. We don't have that. We don't have that here. But I'll give you two stats that show the disparity. 82% of all people out there have been polled are likely to attend an Easter service or a service like this with Dr. Gillen, with the ABC News and all the productions that he's done. Oh, my goodness. Incredible Harvard physics professor. Then even a basic church Easter service. 82% of people in this poll said we'd be likely to attend if we were invited by someone to go to church with them. 82%. But the problem is, here's the other stat. Only 2% of church people ever invite anyone. Now, I know that ours is a lot higher than that. But I think here's the deal. If you knew the cure for cancer, I don't think you would hold it to yourself. And if you know the solution for the sin of the world and the disease that it causes and the separation and the anxiety and all those things, that if you knew that the answer was in the gospel of Jesus, which in many things, most things, if not all things, the answer is that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, who took our place on the cross, who lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death that we should have died. He died it for us in our place. On the third day, he rose from the dead. It was witnessed by more than 500 people, eyewitnesses, who all went out and lived for him, and most of them died for him. And Jesus one day will come again. And this is the good news. Now, if we know that, we have a great opportunity this season to take that card and write down three names and invite people. I invite people. I invite them on text. I invite them on email. I invite them in person. I invite them every single way that I can. And this is what Jesus talked about in the parable of the banquet, when he was the guy was throwing a big banquet, and there are many people who had excuse. I can't make it. I just got married. I can't make it. I just bought some land. I need to go look at it. Can you imagine that? What an excuse that is. I bought land, and now I'm going to go check it out. I don't think so. And he said, okay, then the parable goes like this. No one showed up, and the host then said to his servants, he said, go to the highways and the byways, Luke 14:23. Go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Compel the lame to come in, the blind to come in. Compel all the people. Why? That my house might be filled. This is our next step, and this is who we are as a people. Been great to be with you this morning. We're going to honor God in communion right now. And let's just say praise the Lord that he sent Jesus, his son, for us. Lord, we thank you. Thank you so much for your mission. Lord, your mission that is so real to us and so dear to us. And now, Lord, we prepare our hearts to receive these elements in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.